Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday. It's that time again. It's the Throwback, American Sports History Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Peter Ray, out there in Cleveland, Ohio. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. And I realize 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, or if you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. More him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Peter, your show keeps picking up steam. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? You're bringing another legend in here today. And another one, Nancy H. Finley, wants to come on this show. So the granddaughter, the daughter of Charlie O'Finley. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm so blessed to produce this. My brother, take it away.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Rea. You're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played Major League Baseball from 1986 to 2002 with the San Diego Padres, San Francisco Giants, Oakland A's, Texas Rangers, Florida Marlins, Arizona Diamondbacks, Philadelphia Phillies, and Montreal Expos. He was a relief pitcher. He won a World Series championship in 1997 with the Florida Marlins. He's currently a pitching coach for the Tucson Toros. He's one of only three players to play in a Little League World Series, College World Series, and MLB World Series, along with Jason Varitek and Michael Conforto. And he won a college baseball championship in 1980 with the University of Arizona, and he was pitching in the Mexican League at age 45. In MLB, he pitched in 266 games, 233 and a third innings pitched, 179 strikeouts. He won 10 games, saved 13. Welcome to the show for the second time, Mr. Ed Vosburg.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be with you today.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful having you on again. I wanted to continue. I love hearing memories of guys like you, your memories of teammates. On the 1986 Padres, what do you remember about Rich Gossage?
You know, I have some great memories of Rich. Rich, I was a young guy back in the day, and I remember getting called up actually in 1986, and Rich was there, and he was very welcoming. It's interesting. We used to take a couple trips to go to Phoenix to play the teams in Phoenix for spring training, and so we stayed at a hotel, and Rich always used to invite me to have breakfast with him in the morning. I got a chance to get to know the guy. Just a classic professional, kind human being, and he was a great pitcher in his day.
Okay, Tim Stoddard.
Tim Stoddard, didn't get a chance to know him that well. I was only in the big leagues with the Padres early on for a short time. I got a September call up, and then I was there for a week the very following season. He was just a mountain of a man, just a big gentleman, almost looked like a grizzly bear, but very soft-spoken guy from what I remember, and a good teammate.
Dave LaPointe.
Yeah, Dave LaPointe, left-handed pitcher like myself, very funny guy, very witty, used to tell a lot of stories, and just a good pitcher in his own right, and had a nice career with a couple different teams. I think he actually played with the St. Louis Cardinals as well, but very, very funny guy from what I remember.
Okay, and your next team on the 1990 San Francisco Giants, the GM was Al Rosen. Did you have any encounters with him?
Just a few times I talked to him. I just remember, hearing how great a ball player he was himself, but kind of a dry person. I was a young guy, tried to keep my mouth shut and just try to, do my job, but seemed like a very successful guy as a player and as a general manager.
Yeah, Al Rosen back in the 50s with the Cleveland Indians. Your manager, Roger Craig.
Yeah, Roger, great manager, had a lot of success. I think he was kind of the innovator with the split-fingered fastball, and he tried to, he always would walk around to pitchers and especially younger guys and, ask tried to introduce the split finger fastball to anybody who could throw, because it was a very valuable weapon. I unfortunately didn't have big long fingers, and so it was a difficult pitch for me to throw personally. But a lot of guys that did throw it had a lot of success, and Roger was one of the first guys that kind of brought the pitch to the forefront.
Okay, your teammates that year, Will Clark.
Yeah, Will the Thrill, very, very, really, really fun guy to play with. Very serious when he got between the lines. Off the field was kind of a completely different character. Funny guy, had a great laugh. You know, Will, it's funny because he used to make fun of all the guys that used to get in the weight room and try to bulk up. But Will was not a weightlifter. Strictly played, did a lot of things just on his talent alone, but had a tremendous career. I think he ended up hitting over 300 in his career, and just a fun guy to be around, just a gamer.
Robbie Thompson.
Robbie was a very, very great second baseman, great defensively, did all the little things right, great double play combination with him and Jose Uribe. I remember one thing that always comes to mind is he used to take the pine tar rag and kind of stick it in his glove. And I think so. Sometimes you'd get that ball back from after he caught a ground ball and had a little bit of sticky stuff on it. But great defensive player, good player.
Jose Uribe.
Jose was just a phenomenal, phenomenal shortstop. Caught every ball that was hit to him, and he was interesting the way he played the game. He threw a lot of balls to first base off the wrong foot. He's just one of those guys that just kind of a magician with the glove, very underrated defensively, and I know he had a real nice career in the big leagues, especially with the Giants.
Matt Williams played for Cleveland.
Yeah, Matt was I know that when I got called up, and I know he's still coached. He's been around the game a long time, actually managed, I think, with the Washington Nationals. Just a tremendous third baseman, great glove, very soft hands, great power hitter. I remember at the strike of 94, I think he had 46 home runs when the strike happened, and it would have been interesting to see how many he would have ended up, because I think the strike was like August 12th. So was having a tremendous year, had a great career. Well, I think he won some gold gloves and still involved in the game. I think he is, I think he's the third base coach. I'm not sure. I just saw him somewhere, but I can't really remember who he's with, but just a great baseball guy.
Kevin Mitchell.
Every time I think of Kevin Mitchell, I think of that one-handed catch he made barehanded. He was running for a ball, and he kind of misjudged it a little bit and stuck his bare hand up and caught it. And I remember they made a flip book about that catch, and so you could kind of flip through the book, and you could kind of see him running for the ball, and all of a sudden stuck his hand up and caught it. Great player, MVP one year. You know, him and Will Clark together were a pretty good 3-4 combination. Very underrated defensive player as well.
Another guy who played for Cleveland, Brett Butler.
Brett Butler, one of my favorite teammates, little, kind of a tiny guy, great outfielder, great bunter, one of the best bunters I ever seen, and just had the ability to kill the ball and kind of bunt it like right in front of the pitcher and had great speed. He could literally bunt a ball when they knew he was going to bunt it and still get a base hit out of it. Just a solid, solid leadoff hitter. Just a very tough out, had the ability to foul off a lot of pitches, which is really, you don't see hitters like that anymore, but just a real, real good outfielder and just a tremendous, tremendous leadoff hitter and really a great person. I loved having him as a teammate.
Gary Carter.
Gary Carter had it. I don't know who named him, but I think he was the kid before Ken Griffey Jr. was called the kid. Always smiling, always happy, just just a fabulous teammate. I got called up, and I remember I got called up, and I think I flew into New York, and he walked over to me, introduced himself like I didn't know who he was, and just said, tell me a little bit about yourself, and tell me what you like to throw, and just a very, very professional baseball player, great human being, sad that he ended up passing away, I think when he was 58, 59 from some type of cancer, but just a tremendous, great smile, loved him as a teammate, really, he had the ability to make everybody, young or old, just feel welcome, and he was one of my favorite teammates ever.
Rick Leach,
funny guy, quarterback, Michigan quarterback, good baseball player, two-way player, you know, two sports, kind of like an Elway, you know, kind of like a Bo Jackson, not nearly the talent, obviously, of a Bo Jackson, but he was a good player, just good left-handed hitter. I think he was a left-handed hitter, left-handed thrower, but all I remember is he played football at Michigan, and I was a quarterback myself when I was in high school, but Rick was good. He was a good professional hitter, and he was a fun guy to be around, good sense of humor.
Another guy who played for Cleveland, Brad Kamensk.
Brad did not. I don't know if Brad and I ever played together. I know we played against each other. I think he was a good ball player. I remember facing Brad when he was in Atlanta. I got a chance to start three games in my big league career. The first one was against the San Francisco Giants, and then I pitched against the Cincinnati Reds and the Atlanta Braves, and I faced Brad, and I think I pitched five decent innings and got a no decision. But he was a good ball player, good outfielder, had a nice big league career, and never really got a chance to know him as a person.
Don Robinson,
great hitter, pitcher, big guy, but could definitely one of the guys that really could swing a bat. I remember, I think one game I pitched in San Francisco, and I was coming up to bat, and they pinch hit for me with him, and he ended up hitting a home run. So that's one of the things I always remember. I ended up giving up a game-winning home run one time in St. Louis, to bottom of the ninth, a walk-off, and he was so kind, came over to me and said, hey, kid, it's all right. I gave up a few of those in my day. Don't worry about it. Just keep your chin up. Just a real nice guy, good teammate.
Rick Rushel,
big, soft, throwing Rick Rushel, great sinker. I think he had a brother, Paul, just a really solid pitcher, you know. You don't see too many pitchers like that anymore. Everybody today is trying to light up the radar gun. But Rick was a sinker, slider kind of a guy, but got a lot of ground balls, pitched quickly. You know, when he was pitching, you knew we were gonna be done in less than 3 hours. He worked quickly. Had a nice career. Good pitcher.
Okay, Mike Lacoste.
Mike Lacoste, big, tall, skinny guy, good pitcher, had a nice career. Don't remember a lot about him as a teammate. I think, you know, I'm not even sure if he was there when we were together, but I know he was a Giant. I know he had a good career. I know he was a big, tall, lanky guy, had a real good body. If you're going to design an athlete to be a pitcher, you'd probably say a guy like Michael Kloss, who was like 6'3", lanky, long arms, had a nice career.
Steve Bedrosian,
Bedrock, just a quality guy. He was fun to be around, told a lot of stories, great sense of humor, really good closer. I think he was a closer for a few different teams, and really, really kind guy, just very good to me when I was with the Giants.
Atlee Hammaker,
great pitcher at one time. I think he had some injuries. I remember, I think he got sick, had some type that really kind of affected his career. Very, very successful. You know, had another fellow left-hander like myself. But very, very good pitcher, and I think he had some health issues, like I said, that kind of sidelined him in his career, but had a lot of success as a big league pitcher.
Bob Knepper.
Bob Knepper, another kind of soft thrower. He's kind of like the left-handed version of Rick Rushel. Big curveball, very successful pitcher. Not the typical pitcher you'd see nowadays, kind of a soft thrower, but had a lot of success, knew how to pitch, kept the ball down, good off-speed pitches, and just he was kind of fun to watch. He was definitely, if you look up a definition of a pitcher in the dictionary, you'd probably see Bob Knepper's picture in his name.
Another guy pitched for Cleveland, Ernie Camacho.
Ernie Camacho, yeah. Ernie, I think, was a hard thrower, reliever, had a nice career. I think he was did a lot of things, middle relief. I think he actually was a closer at one time, but I don't remember a whole lot about him. I just remember he was kind of always smiling, funny guy, had a good arm, had a big league arm, but I think he had a nice major league career.
Dan Quisenberry.
Dan Quisenberry. You don't see too many guys like Dan Quisenberry, Kent Tekulve, the guys that drop down, throw sidearm, kind of rubbing their knuckles on the ground as they throw. But very successful closer, pitched with the Kansas City Royals. You know, can't imagine getting up there being a right-handed bat, having to face him throwing from down under, throwing that sinker slider. But had a lot of success as a closer and one of the few guys that used to throw down below.
In 1992, you pitched in Italy. What was that? You want to talk about that? And did you meet Lenny Randle over there?
You know, Italy was a great experience for me. I thought I was out of the game. I got released twice the year before by the California Angels and the Seattle Mariners. And I really thought maybe my career was done. And Brent Strom, of all people, called me, and who's the pitching coach with the Diamondbacks, Astros as well, called me one day and said, "Hey, you still want to pitch? I could get you a job in Italy." And I said, "Yes, I'd love to." I thought maybe it was going to be kind of like a vacation. Went down there, took my family, played two games a week, and really got my confidence back. And interestingly enough, I was set to play for another year there with actually one of the better teams, making decent money for Italy, and the job actually fell through and ended up coming back and went to a tryout camp in Mesa, Arizona with the Chicago Cubs and 100 ball players and 60 pitch. Fortunate enough to get invited to spring training because of that tryout and ended up making a AAA team in Des Moines, Iowa, and pitched really well, and went to Mexico that following winter and pitched really well again. And that's when I had Oakland A's Billy Bean offer me a job as well at Florida Marlins. So Italy was great. It ended up helping me get my confidence back, and I, you know, thinking that I was done, I ended up playing 10 more years after Italy. So Italy was kind of a blessing for me.
Did you meet Lenny Randle over there?
I did not, but okay. There was actually some really good American ball players down there, Rick Lancelotti, a couple of others, Rich Thompson. But I had a fabulous experience there. Just met some of my relatives who are Italian that live in Florence, and it was really a great experience. I really enjoyed my time there and did a lot of soul searching. Made me realize I really still wanted to play the game and kind of got my, you know, my love of the game back. And it ended up being a blessing.
Okay, the 1994 Oakland A's. What do you remember about Billy Bean?
I remember Billy Bean was one of the guys that offered me a job coming back, and Billy Bean and the Florida Marlins, and I really played against Billy as when he was a player. He was the number one draft pick by the New York Mets, and unfortunately his career didn't pan out as much as he would have liked as a player, but he's been a phenomenal general manager, and he was the assistant general manager when I signed with the A's, and shortly after that became the general manager. And I have a lot of respect for Billy. He actually offered me my first coaching job. I coached rookie league for the Oakland A's and So I really have really great memories of Billy, and he really helped me out quite a bit, and he really is a good friend. I love him to death.
And your manager for the 94 A's, Tony La Russa.
Tony, one of my favorite guys I ever played for, just a great guy, just a great communicator, just a tremendous, tremendous manager. Had the ability to manage the great players like Ricky Henderson, McGuire, Eckersley, Dick Stewart. You know, he had great players, and he had just a great ability to communicate. I put him up there with Francona, and I also put Jim Leland up there and Dusty Baker, some of the people I was able to be around that are just tremendous baseball people, just tremendous people in general.
Okay, your teammates, Terry Steinbach.
Terry was a great catcher, good hitter. I enjoyed my time throwing to him. Just very good behind the plate, called a good game, swung the bat very well, good hitter, just a good all-around catcher, hitter, just a quality big leaguer.
Scott Brosius.
Scotty Brosius, I just remember, I think he was the MVP of the World Series in 1998 when I was with the San Diego Padres. He was a Yankee, and just, I always thought he was talented. I thought he needed to find his niche, you know, and I think when he went over to New York, he just kind of found his place. He did really well with the Yankees, and I think, you know, New York is a difficult place for some people to play, but he seemed like he excelled in New York and just did well and got at least one World Series ring while he was there.
Ricky Henderson.
Ricky, of course, just to me, the greatest leadoff hitter ever, just a tremendous all-time leader in stolen bases, obviously stole 130 bases one year. Just, you know, one of the few guys that's a left-handed hitter, left-handed thrower, which is very, very rare. Just a tremendous leadoff hitter, great power. I think he led off 69 games with a home run. You know, just there'll never be another Ricky. Just the way he could steal a base. Not a bad outfielder. Just great. He walked a lot. Just a tremendous, tremendous leadoff hitter. Scored a lot of runs. You know, if Ricky got on base, he's probably going to steal second and steal third. Just a great way to manufacture runs, and just had a long career, very, very long career, great body. Could have been a great football player. I'm sure he probably was a football player when he was younger, but just a tremendous, tremendous baseball player.
Stan Javier,
switch hitter. I think his dad was a Major League Baseball player as well. Just really, really solid baseball player. Not sure how much he started. I think he was more of a fourth or fifth outfielder, but played quite a bit of time in the big leagues. And I always admired switch hitters because I think definitely a tremendous advantage to be a switch hitter.
Ruben Sierra.
Played with Ruben in winter ball in Puerto Rico. Great talent switch hitter. Could run, could throw. Kind of a five-tool guy. Had some great career years with the Texas Rangers and the Yankees and the Oakland A's. Had a maybe one of the most talented switch hitters that I ever saw, and just could do it all. Had power from both sides of the plate. Like I said, great, great speed, pretty good outfielder. Just a tremendous talent from Puerto Rico.
Geronimo Baroa.
I love Geronimo. We both, Geronimo was kind of out of the game and made the 1994 Oakland A's team and did really well and kind of got himself back on the map, and just a really funny guy to be around. Great hitter, good power hitter, just really a neat person. Got a chance to get to know him a little bit. Just loved him to death.
Mark McGuire,
one of my all-time favorite teammates, played summer ball in Alaska with him. And one of my favorite baseball stories is we had a game in Alaska. Two pitchers were pitching one of the probably the best game I ever witnessed in person or ever. both of these pitchers had a shutout going into the ninth inning, and actually the pitcher we were facing had a perfect game. His name was Don August, and Mark McGuire comes up. He had retired 25 batters in a row, and Mark, he retired the first eight innings, 24, and then he had retired the first batter in the ninth, and Mark comes up. It's a tape measure home run to win the game, 1-0. I felt bad for Don August, who threw a phenomenal game, gives up one hit, and loses 1-0.
Junior Noboa,
little middle infielder. I think he got into management. Pretty good major league player. I think he became an agent, but really solid guy. Did everything really well. You knew he was going to be whatever he decided to do after baseball, he was going to be very successful. Really, really nice guy to be around.
Steve Sachs,
good. He's a Dodger. I got a chance to work with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and when Kirk Gibson was managing, and he invited Steve Sachs to come in and work with the infielders, and I think he ended up being one of his coaches for a while. Great guy, great infielder, good leadoff hitter, I believe he's a leadoff hitter. Solid major league player, speed, could run, could steal bases, just a good ball player.
Ron Darling,
loved watching him pitch, just fun to watch, threw a lot of strikes, big slow curveball. I think he went to school at Yale. Smart guy, very smart guy. I enjoy listening to him do baseball games on television now. Just knows the game, just really good, you know, with in front of the microphone, and was a really, really good major league pitcher.
Bobby Witt,
tremendous athlete, just a stud, looked like a bodybuilder. Had a great arm. I'll never forget, I got called up to the Oakland A's at 94 on July 4th. And my equipment bag didn't make it, and Bobby was gracious enough to lend me a pair of his shoes to wear because my bag had not made it. And he had thrown three consecutive shutouts, and just a great talent. Had a nice career with Texas Rangers, Oakland A's, Florida Marlins, just a really, really great guy. He was from Boston, had that Boston accent, just loved Bobby to death.
Another guy played for Cleveland, Dennis Eckersley.
Dennis, one of the more versatile pitchers you'll ever see, starter, closer, kind of like a John Smoltz, threw a no-hitter in the big leagues, won 20 games, just a great, great, versatile pitcher who not a lot of pitchers can start and then pitch in the bullpen and have success like a Smoltz and an Eckersley, but he was very talented, threw strikes, maybe was one of the greatest strike throwers that I've ever seen.
Steve Ontiveros
had a lot of injuries, but when he was healthy, was really, really good. Ended up bouncing back, I think, in 94 when I was there, and really did really well. I think he was had one of the best earned run averages in the league that year. Just really, it was exciting to watch him after him having so many injuries that prevented him from, you know, being healthy. That year he really put it together, and he was one of the best pitchers in the American League that year.
Bobby Welch,
one of the funny guys that I was able to play with. Loved his sense of humor. Sadly, passed away. Loved reading his book. He was an alcoholic. Wrote a book called 5 o'clock Comes Early, and just a tremendous story. Just a great guy. Loved being around him. Loved hearing his stories. What a great pitcher. I heard that he possibly was a guy that I think he might have struck out Tony Gwynn three times in a game, which never happened. But just a great, great talent. Actually was a pretty good pitching coach, I think, when the Arizona Diamondbacks won the World Series in 2001. I believe he was the pitching coach. Really, really smart baseball guy. Died way too young.
We had a comment from Joey from Bucks County. Thanks for watching, Joey. Our time has flown by. Our guest has been Mr. Ed Vosburgh, who was an MLB pitcher from 1986 to 2002. What a wonderful show. Mr. Vosburgh, do you have any final comments tonight for our audience?
No, I just think baseball is a great game. It's changed a lot. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the rules, you know, that have been put in place. I don't like the, you know, the fact that the pitcher can only throw over a couple times. I'm not a huge fan of the clock. I don't like the fact that a clock can decide the game. But you know, baseball is a great game. I fell in love with it as a kid. You know, Willie Mays was my idol. I was very fortunate to have a nice baseball career. I got a chance to play with, you know, great players like, you know, Gary Carter, Brett Butler, and, you know, I got a chance to play with the Will Clarks, and, you know, I loved my time and played for some great managers. La Russa and Dusty Baker was a coach with the Giants, and he was one of my favorite people, just a kind, kind soul. And, you know, Terry Francona was both a teammate of mine and my manager, and, you know, Terry and I, we both still live here in Tucson, so it's great. Baseball's got some great characters, and, you know, I was lucky enough to meet Yogi Berra and Ted Williams, and so I've lived a really blessed life. I'm very thankful.
Wonderful. So wonderful having you on the show again. We'll contact you again and keep going through your team, memorable teammates you had. So thanks so much, Mr. Ed Vosburgh, for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me. Anytime you want, I'll be back.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch next week. Next week, we're going to have Bill North, the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Ed Vosburgh.